First in the morning, SAFM Sunrise with Stephen Grootes.
11 minutes to 8, good morning. I'm sure you've seen the outcry about the revelation that ministers and deputy ministers do not pay for the electricity and water which is used in their official residences. And government confirmed this week that ministers and deputy ministers have official residences and private residences, and they only pay for the lights and water used in their private residences. At the same time, as I'm sure you know, a cabinet minister is paid 2,473,682 rand a year. A deputy minister is paid 2,037,129 rand a year. The minister in the presidency is Mondli Gungubele. Minister, good morning and thank you for your time this morning.
Good morning, Steve, and good morning to your listenership.
I thought it might be helpful to get some facts on the table first so we all understand where we are. Firstly, if I'm correct, a minister has an official residence, or is it two official residences, one in Tshwane and one in Cape Town?
It depends, Stephen. There are ministers who, for logistical reasons, use their houses for official purposes, as a result. Depending whether you're in Cape Town or you're in Gauteng. If, for instance, you're in Gauteng, you decide to use your house for private, for official, what to call, it means the state house in Gauteng you don't use. You use the one which is on the in the other, what to call, in the other province. I'm not sure if I'm explaining it.
Let me put it another way. Could one minister have two official residences, or would you only have one?
Logistically, you are bound to have two, because ministers work in parliament and work at the headquarters in Pretoria.
Okay. And does a minister pay rent at all to stay in that official residence or not?
The official residence, there's a subsidized rent, yes.
Okay, it's quite a small amount, I think, compared to, you know, considering where you're living.
Yeah, I think.
But you do pay. And the lights and water bill at those official residences, the minister doesn't pay for that. Minister, we're battling to hear you on the line. I don't know if you're able to move around a little bit and strengthen that line for us. We're speaking to Mondli Gungubele, who's the minister in the presidency. We'll see if we're able to just get him back on that line to try and improve it, because clearly that line's not working. And this is a very important issue that really we do want to get to, because, as you know, there's been huge public outrage about this.
Across South Africa, online and on radio. SAFM, let's talk.
Well, Minister Mondli Gungubele, back with us now. Minister, I think you can hear us clearly now.
No, I was saying, Steve. Thank you very much. I'm sorry about that connectivity. What I was saying to you, until April this year, a minister who would have opted to use his or her house for official purpose would have paid for electricity, irrespective. A minister who is staying in state houses, both in Cape Town and Gauteng, up to April, the state would have paid up to 5,000 and the remainder, the minister, in terms of electricity and what to call. From April, current as we speak, there's a huge problem that occurred, which ministers were very extremely concerned about. They found themselves with the bills of about 30,000 and all those kind of things. And the second thing is that, unsegregated accounts. For instance, I'm in Grooteskis, the Gerendal area. The ministerial houses here would have circumstances where many houses have what the state has got only one account. Public work has got one account which is not segregated.
Okay. Minister, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I understand this. I'm going to come to this point in a moment. I just want to confirm a few other things. And if you don't mind, I would like to do that, because I think I just want to get all of the facts on the table. I do want to check. There's also a car allowance. I think it's 700,000 rand for a car allowance, and also a car in Gauteng and a car in Cape Town. Is that right?
Yes.
And there's also security. Now, this is a bit more complicated, because ministers and deputy ministers are protected by the VIP protection unit. But the VIP protection unit doesn't just protect ministers and deputy ministers. It protects, I don't know, the Chief Justice, other officials. But the last budget, the figure I have is that the VIP protection unit received 3,122,000,000 rand for the year. I don't know if that figure is accurate, but that's what I have. Do you know if that's accurate?
I'll be very careful to deal with that. I think DBSA would actually, a relevant department will deal with that.
Okay.
All I know, the security is provided. both from the terms of logistics and the personnel, which is a convention all over the world in terms of
I'm coming to that. And then if your lights go out, if there's load shedding, you're not exempt from load shedding. But I understand through a parliamentary question asked, I think, in July, that the official residences also have a generator which is paid for by government.
No. I'm staying, as I'm talking to you now, I am in Cape Town, in a house called The Grange, in Fortescue. I get load shedded every time when there's load shedding in Cape Town, except those houses that happen to be in the vicinity of the exempted, like if you're next to Union Building.
Sure.
Chances there that you will be exempted from water load shedding. But ministers who are outside that prison, then there are many, if you can go to Pretoria, Waterkloof and so on, all of them are subjected to load shedding. People can go and check for themselves.
Okay. So the reason that I put it all together like this is so that we understand where we are. Now we know that, yes, you get a cars. Yes, you get a house, one or maybe two. You do pay a little bit of rent. Yes, you're not exempt from load shedding, which is what I didn't know. Here's what I would like to ask you. What kind of life do you think a cabinet minister is living in South Africa? Is it a comfortable life?
Well, it depends what you mean by comfortable life, Stephen. Let me put it this way. One of the things, I sometimes wish that somebody else would be actually doing this briefing, because I'm also a minister, I can come across as being defensive. The ministerial job, Stephen, is one of the most insecure jobs. Two, ministers buy their own houses. They don't have housing subsidies, including MPs. They pay for their medical aid. Medical aid only, as I'm putting it to you, I think I'm paying nearly 10,000 a month as a minister. And I guess MPs pay also that. It's not subsidized. I can list a lot of things that are not subsidized. The job that is insecure, the job that you can leave at any time, and the job that is involved 24/7 operation.
Why are you paying for medical aid when you should be using government hospitals anyway?
That's a different story.
I understand why you're laughing. Perhaps you're surprised by the question, but I'm afraid it is the fundamental point, Minister. What incentive is there for you as a minister in cabinet to improve health services that everybody else relies... Can you hear me?
Yes, you are getting lost, Stephen.
All right. As Kasatu put it this week, what incentive is there for ministers to improve governance if they themselves don't use the services everyone else uses? That's Kasatu who made that point.
Well, I think that question is a question that we need to make conversation about, and it's a question that we need to continue to discuss. I think I would agree that the more we use public service, the better. It would send a message of our confidence in the water core in the system.
Okay. Can I just let me put it to you like this, and then I won't interrupt your answer, okay? We'll be late for news, but I won't interrupt your answer. This story isn't about the bills. It isn't about the electricity and the water at all. It is about the total amount of money government is spending on ministers and deputy ministers when we get phone calls on SFM every day from people who just want 350 rand.
I'm sure now between me and you, Stephen, you know, the question of whether ministers should have VIP security services or not, that they need to have official residence because of their the purpose for which that property is used, because these houses need infrastructure which their private houses most of the time do not have. As long as we don't disagree, we have got a common understanding that if minister were to come here in Cape Town for temporary purposes and stay in hotel, the amount of expense that would be there. All I'm saying is that if you speak about this, when you talk about the value is a matter that I think we need to continue talking about. But where I'm sitting, ministers, I understand why ministers have got security. I understand why ministers need official residence for the type of work they do, because generally most of the time their house cannot do that work.
I promised I wouldn't interrupt the answer, and I haven't. Minister Mondlegungubele, I'm afraid we are out of time. As you say, it is a longer conversation. I really do appreciate the time that we were able to get through to you. The Minister in the Presidency, Mondlegungubele, you with SAFM, it's 8 o'clock.